The Lord willing, we will return to our series of messages today from Jesus' Sermon on the Mount. Today we're looking at Matthew chapter 7, verses 1 through 6. Again, Matthew chapter 7, verses 1 through 6. Now, these are hard teachings. These are teachings for kingdom living, for living in the church today, in this earth in which we're living today. And in verses 1 through 6, Jesus teaches that we are not to render unjust judgment. Notice I said unjust judgment or self-righteous judgment. Now, Matthew chapter 7 and verse 1 says, "Judge not that you be not judged." Now, that verse is misused and abused widely today. Many take the verse, "Judge not that you be not judged," and to mean that, oh well, we can just do anything. We can't condemn sin. People can live any way they want to, and we don't have a right to judge them. But that is not at all what Jesus was teaching. But let's read the whole passage and then go to the Lord in prayer. And Jesus says and taught us, "Judge not that you be not judged, for with what judgment you judge, you shall be judged. And with what measure you meet, it shall be measured to you again. And why beholdest thou the mote that is in thy brother's eye, but considereth not the beam that is in thine own eye? Or how wilt thou say to thy brother, let me pull out the mote out of thine eye, and behold, a beam is in thine own eye? Thou hypocrite, first cast out the beam out of thine own eye, then shalt thou see clearly to cast out the mote out of thy brother's eye. Give not that which is holy unto the dogs. Neither cast your pearls before swine, lest they trample them under their feet, and then turn again and rend you." Let us pray. Father God in heaven, we're so thankful to be in thy house today, the house of prayer. And we're so thankful for the Bethlehem Primitive Baptist Church. So thankful for every member and friend that comes this way from time to time. Bless our members and friends that are absent this day. We pray, Lord, that you will bless them to be back with us on the next Lord's Day, if it be your will. Father, I pray for our country, for the upcoming election. Pray, Lord, that your people who are called by your name, that we would humble ourselves, turn from our wicked ways. Then will you hear from heaven and heal our land. Help us to bless you, God. Now, O God, forgive us of all of our personal sins. You are a great God of mercy, love, and grace, but yet you are a God of judgment and discipline when we stray away. So help us to turn truly and repent truly and turn to thee. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Got to remember here, the Sermon on the Mount is all about the condition of our heart. It is all about the motivations, the intentions, and how our heart is doing. Not our physical heart, but our soul and our spirit. Our spiritual heart. And so we see here now that he says, "Judge not that you be not judged." Now, when he says, "Judge not," there are many things that Jesus did not mean by that. Number one, Jesus did not prohibit civil judgment in court on evildoers. Matter of fact, God established civil government in Israel of old and nations today, and governments have a right and a duty and a responsibility to judge wrongdoers who break the law and mete out appropriate punishment. And so that is one thing that Jesus did not mean. Another thing that Jesus did not mean was he does not prohibit the church from judging its own members. The church has the authority and the obligation to render righteous judgment on its own membership. That is referred to as church discipline. Church discipline. In Matthew chapter 18, Jesus taught that church discipline is appropriate and required. In Matthew 18, beginning in verse 15, discipline in the church. Jesus said in Matthew 18:15, "Moreover, if your brother shall trespass against thee, go and tell him his fault between thee and him alone, and if he shall hear thee, thou hast gained thy brother." And that's the first step when there is a conflict between brothers and sisters in the church. "But if he will not hear thee between the two of you, then take with you one or two more witnesses, that in the mouth of two or three witnesses every word may be established." And hopefully that will solve that problem. But he says in verse 17, "But if he shall neglect to hear them, then tell it unto the church. And then if he neglect to hear the church, let him be to thee as a heathen man and as a publican." In other words, Jesus was not saying that the church didn't have authority to render righteous judgment with its own members. And the purpose of church discipline is to bring wayward members to repentance and restoration out of love for that person. When Jesus chastens us, when the Lord chastens His children, He does it because He loves us so much. And He wants the very best for His children. And He wants to bring us to that state of repenting of our sin and turning away from our sin, and that we might be restored to fellowship with Him once again and fellowship with His church and one another. And so He was not prohibiting church discipline. So we also find that Jesus was not prohibiting personal judgments that we know are wrong. We are allowed by Scripture to call sin, sin. Thou shalt not steal. When a person steals, it's not unrighteous judgment when we say that that's wrong, for example. So He was not prohibiting any of those things. But He was, what was He saying? Jesus is teaching us that we are not to judge rashly, quickly, without love, having a fault-finding spirit. Having a fault-finding spirit without even going into looking into what's going on. How quick sometimes are we? Listen to this. Have you ever heard the expression, "Don't judge a book by its cover"? Don't judge a book by its cover. Sometimes authors might choose a very poor cover for a book, and it may not look very appealing, but it might be wonderful when you read it. So it is with looking at one another. Now, what is so deficient within ourselves? The main thing is that we can only see what's on the outside. Jesus looks into the heart, and we can't do that. Our natural eyes, beholding the deeds and actions of others around us, we don't know what's in their heart. We have no idea. Remember that the Lord told Samuel before he anointed David to be the next king over Israel, he says that men look on the outward appearance, but God looks on the heart. He knows what's in the heart. So we are not to be quick to nitpick or find fault with one another self-righteously. Judging others by our own standards and not by the standard of thus saith the Lord or God's holy word. For he says in verse 2, "For with what judgment you judge, you shall be judged." And who is our judge? Is it men or God? God is the judge of all. God, he takes note of our harsh, unforgiving spirit. And so we find there is a principle in God's word for all of us today in Galatians chapter 6 and verse 7 that says, "For whatsoever a man soweth, that shall he also reap. And with what measure you meet, it shall be measured to you again." Have you ever heard the saying, "What goes around comes around"? I know you have. What goes around comes around. Like a boomerang, it comes back to you. So when we are fault-finding and comparing others to ourselves in an unforgiving, uncharitable spirit, it often will come back on us again in an unkind way. And why do you behold the mote that is in your brother's eye, but consider not the beam that's in your own eye? Now, the Greek word for mote means a tiny splinter, just a little tiny speck, a teeny speck. But a beam is like a large log. So why do you nitpick and point out a little tiny fault, a little small fault in others, and you don't even see the big faults in your own life? We become blind to our own faults and failures and to our own sin and begin to fault find in others' lives when we have not examined our own life and our own heart. God's Word teaches us, if you look with me, in 2 Corinthians 1, chapter 13. 2 Corinthians chapter 13, verse 5. 2 Corinthians 13, verse 5. Apostle Paul said, "Examine yourselves." Look within yourself. First, examine yourself whether you be in the faith. Prove your own self. In other words, test your own self by the standard of God's holy word. Now, when we do that, we're always going to come up short because we are fallen sinners. And when we compare ourselves to God's word, we fall far short of God's standard. Examine yourself. prove your own selves. Know you not your own selves? How that Jesus Christ, He is in you, except you be reprobates. Now, that is a hard thing to look at. Now, can a child of God be reprobate? We know the unregenerate can, but yet, there comes a time in our lives that we can have that our heart can become hardened through the deceitfulness of our own sin. We can become calloused through the deceitfulness of our own sin. That means that we can get to the point that we don't even consider what we're doing to be a sin anymore. And that's a terrible condition to get to. Now we know that every child of God has Jesus through the person of the Holy Spirit living in our heart forever. If you are born from above, if you are regenerated, you will never become unregenerated. A child of God born again will never be unborn of the Spirit. However, Jesus will not dwell in temples that are in continual sin. We will not feel His fellowship if we are hardened through the deceitfulness of our own sin. So He says in verse 6, "But I trust that you shall know that we are not reprobate." Paul says, "I pray to God that you do no evil." And we should pray one for another and for our own selves as well, that we do no evil. Not that we should appear approved, that is, before men, but that you should do that which is honest, though we be like reprobates. So he says, we can act like reprobate when we are hardened through the deceitfulness of sin. Now, if you look over in 2 Corinthians chapter 10 and verse 12. 2 Corinthians chapter 10 and verse 12, beginning in verse 12, Paul says this, 10:12, 2 Corinthians, "For we dare not make ourselves of the number or compare ourselves with some who commend themselves." In other words, we're not to be comparing ourselves among ourselves. But they, measuring themselves by themselves and comparing themselves among themselves, are not wise. It is unwise to compare ourselves to others as far as degrees of goodness or evil. Look in verse 13. "We will not boast of things without our measure, but according to the measure of the rule that God has distributed to us, a measure to reach even unto you." And so let us not compare ourselves to ourselves. You know, we think sometimes that we look pretty good when we compare ourselves to others. We may say, "Well, I don't steal, I don't commit murder, I don't commit adultery." Jesus said, if you hate your brother, then you've committed murder in your heart. Or if you look on a woman to lust after her, you've committed adultery in your heart. Again, it's a matter of the heart. So he says in verse 4, "How will you say to your brother, 'Let me pull out the mote out of thine eye,' when behold, there is a huge beam in your own eye? being blinded to what is in our own lives. Now, verse 5 is the key to the whole passage. When we do this, Jesus says, we are being a hypocrite. Now, the prime example there in Jesus' day was, again, the Pharisees, who saw themselves as good and self-righteous and who condemned others who did not meet their standard of righteousness. Self-righteousness is deceiving. It deceives yourself. And a hypocrite is one who plays a part and is doing things and looking, trying to act at a part that you're not yourself. First, we are to do this. First, cast out the beam out of your own eye. Then you'll be able to see clearly to cast out the mote out of your brother's eye. Remember, first things first. Go back in chapter 6 of the Sermon on the Mount concerning the eye gate. The eye gate. He says in Matthew chapter 6, verse 22, the light of the body is the eye. If therefore thine eye be single, that is, it be whole, thy whole body shall be full of light. But if thine eye be evil, that is, if there is a beam in your own eye, then your whole body shall be full of darkness. And if therefore the light that is in thee be darkness, how great is that darkness? When there is a big log in your own eyes, in my own eyes, I am blinded to my own sins and my own faults and failures, and I cannot see my own sin. So we have to get that out of our lives. We have to come to the point of repenting from our own sin. Apostle Paul says this in Romans 2 and verse 4. Romans 2 and verse 4. Or despisest thou the riches of God's goodness and forbearance? God is good to us all the time, and He's patient with us. That's what forbearance means. He's patient. But God's patience does have a limit. And long-suffering. He forbears and long-suffering, not knowing that the goodness of God leads thee to repentance. Leads us to repentance. But, Romans 2:5, after thy hardness and impenitent heart, an unrepentant heart, hardened heart, through the deceitfulness of sin, treasurest up to thyself wrath or judgment against the day of wrath and revelation of the righteous judgment of God, who will render to every man according to his deeds. Now that sounds, it's bad, isn't it? It is bad. The Lord renders to every man according to his deeds. Now, for the child of God, our judgment is right here in this life while we're living upon this earth. Because Jesus has already bore that the judgment that would have condemned us to an eternal hell. Jesus took that judgment for us on the cross of Calvary. And so when we appear in heaven at the throne of God, the Father will look upon us And Jesus, the Son of God, is going to tell the Father, He's one of mine. I died for Him. His sins have been cleansed, removed from Him as far as the east is from the west. But yet, the Lord judges us daily in this life, in this world in which we live. He disciplines and chastens His own children, you see. To them who by patient continuance in well-doing seek for glory and honor and immortality, eternal life. So it is the forbearance, long-suffering, and the goodness of God that leads us to repentance. Examine ourselves. I need to examine my own heart. The psalmist David said it this way in Psalms chapter 139. Remember, I made reference to this a few Sundays ago in connection with the Sermon on the Mount. Psalm chapter 139, verse 23 and 24. David said, "Search me, O God, and know my heart." Search me, know my heart. Try me and know my thoughts. And see if there be any wicked way in me. And lead me in the way everlasting. That is a spirit of humility, a spirit of brokenness, a spirit of repentance. When you come to that point of asking the Lord to search your own heart to see if there be any wicked way in me, and lead me unto repentance, to the way everlasting. So first, cast out the log in our own eye, then shall we see clearly to cast out the tiny splinter, the tiny speck in our brother's eye. But it has to be done in a spirit of humility and of love, desiring, if there is something in a brother's life that is hindering their fellowship with the Lord, that we go to them again in the spirit of humility and in love. For remember, the Apostle Paul taught this in Galatians chapter 6. Galatians chapter 6. When he says, "Brethren, if a man be overtaken in a fault, you which are spiritual," spiritual, that's the key right there, "you who are spiritual, restore such a one in the spirit of meekness, considering thyself, lest thou also be tempted." So in the spirit of meekness and humility and of love and concern, go to your brother alone, desiring their good and their best, to restore them to fellowship with the Lord. And then he goes on to say there in Galatians 6, "Bear one another's burdens, and so fulfill the law of Christ." We don't need to bear our burdens alone. We're not an island in this life. We need each other. "For if a man think himself to be something when he's nothing, he is deceiving himself." That's what the Pharisees did. They thought they were something. They thought they were good and self-righteous. But let every man prove or examine his own work. Examine your own work. Then shall you have rejoicing in himself alone and not in another. And then he says in verse 7, "And be not deceived, God is not mocked, for whatsoever a man soweth, that shall he also reap. For if we sow to the flesh, we shall of the flesh reap corruption. But if you sow to the Spirit, we shall of the Spirit reap life everlasting. And then let us not be weary in well-doing, for in due season we shall reap if we faint not." And then finally, in our text, Matthew chapter 7 and verse 6. Now, when you read verse 6, at first glance, it might appear as if it has no context or connection with the previous verses. But let's find out. Verse 6. "Give not that which is holy unto the dogs, neither cast your pearls before swine, lest they trample them under their feet, and turn again and rend you." Now, swine were unclean animals to the Jews. They were not to eat pork. And even dogs were considered to be an unclean animal. Now, you find in other places in the New Testament where the Jews, they would often refer to the Gentile nations as dogs, the uncircumcised. And so when he uses the term dog here, he is really referring to what you might call the heathen. But yet he says, "Don't give that which is holy unto the dogs." Now, yes, we are indeed supposed to share God's truth and God's goodness with those whom the Lord puts in our pathway. But here he's talking about those who are scoffers, those who oppose God and themselves. Don't give that which is holy unto them. See, the characteristic of many dogs is that of brutality. And so there are brute. The world we live in is brutal. Brutal and evil. So don't give that which is holy to those who are bent toward evil. Don't try to instill holy things into such as that, because they will turn and rend us or tear us to pieces. And so we find, once again, that the whole truth is, it is a matter of our heart. Are we humble? Are we meek? Is our heart hardened through the deceitfulness of our own sin? Or is it broken over our sin, crying out to the Lord for forgiveness, that we might cast out the beam in our own eye? Then we can see clearly in love and meekness to help our brother be restored to the Lord as well. God bless you is my prayer, for Christ's sake.